This is episode 283 of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. I'm your host, Josh Wiener, along with Seth Zillman and Jared Aubrey. And on this episode, we will be discussing the week in wrestling news. Hey, OJ Will, get us started.
What up? This is Josiah Williams, and you're listening to the Wrestling Brethren podcast, where wrestling and pop culture collide. Yeah.
Welcome into the show. This week, we are going to be talking about some recent wrestling news items. But before we can get started on that, Seth, Jarrett, how the hell are you?
Well, it's April. We're in full spring mode. I think it was 70 degrees the other day and then like 40 degrees today. So, yep, definitely spring in the Midwest.
Well, you're talking temperature changes. We're talking, quote unquote, one of the most historic blizzards in history. But it did really turn out to be just a tiny flash in the pan. We're all good.
What? A media inflated snowstorm? That never happens.
Oh, not possible.
Take cover. Hide the wife and kids. Oh, it's dusting. All right. Well, this isn't a weather podcast, even though some weeks it sounds like it is. But let's get things started with a little wrestling news. So last night, as we're recording this on the April 13th edition of AEW Dynamite, in the main event, we had a dream match of Samoa Joe taking on Minoru Suzuki. And who would have thought a year ago, if we would have told you that this match would be happening, that you would believe it? Unbelievable match. Last week when Joe made his Dynamite debut, it looked like he just stepped off walking on the sun, because he had his whole upper body was like pink, like he had some wicked case of sunburn. This week he looked normal.
And everybody's going through everybody's minds now.
Yeah. This week he looked normal, and then the match started, and it was the first 2 minutes was a chop fest, and Joe turns bright pink again. So, yeah, this was a hard physical match. And like I said, I'm not joking or exaggerating when I say the first 2 minutes were a chop fest. They were both just seeing who could take the other one down with chops and slaps, and it was brutal. And after those first 2 minutes, when nothing but chops and slaps were occurring, the crowd was already chanting, "This is awesome." In the end, Samoa Joe wins with a muscle buster, and I cringe every time he uses it, only because of the Tyson Kidd situation. But obviously, that was an anomaly. And it's not like Joe injures people every time he uses the thing. But in doing so, he wins the Ring of Honor TV title from Minoru Suzuki. And it's the first TV title reign for Samoa Joe, who is the record holder for the longest Ring of Honor world title reign at 685 days. He's currently feuding with Jay Lethal, who ironically is the record holder for the longest Ring of Honor TV title reign at 567 days. So now that Minoru Suzuki does not hold the TV title anymore, all current Ring of Honor champions are either signed with AEW or rumored to sign with AEW. So that's where we are after a great match. I'm not even going to get into the post-match shenanigans because that was all garbage. But thoughts on the news, and if you saw the match, thoughts on the match.
That match pretty much was what I was expecting, because I remember texting Train shortly after Joe showed up in AEW. I think it was at the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. I didn't see the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, but I know that he showed up at the end. And then I put two and two together, because that was the same night Suzuki won the TV title. And I thought, holy crap, we could have Samoa Joe versus Minoru Suzuki, which, you know, that's a match I think most fans, especially fans of Joe or Japanese wrestling or anything like that, that's you could build a pay-per-view just around that one match. And I'd even texted Train about that, saying, yeah, these guys could definitely get away with the dual striking. Just one guy chops, the other guy chops, one guy chops, the other. Because there are guys that do that in Japan. Usually it's guys that can get away with it, like Suzuki or Tomohiro Ishii or something like that. You know, the Miz and Dolph Ziggler wouldn't be able to get away with doing that spot for obvious reasons. But it's like, that's how they kicked off the match. That was probably, what, a good one quarter, maybe a third of the match was those two just going back and forth. So I know some people might complain about Suzuki losing the title, especially since it was only after about a week. But I think part of it is Suzuki's not signed to Ring of Honor. He's not signed to AEW. New Japan is his home. So it was probably just a way to get the belt off Rhett Titus, because I think Rhett Titus was the previous champion.
Correct.
And get it onto a guy they have under contract now. And I'm sure Suzuki had no problem having a match with Joe, and Joe had no problem having a match with Suzuki. And, you know, in a couple of weeks, Suzuki's going to go back to Japan anyway. So if he didn't lose the title, he'd be taking the Ring of Honor TV title with him to Japan, and then how do you defend it? So I think it was a win-win all around, and definitely physical, everything I was expecting about that match. And yeah, the Great Khali Jr., or whatever you want to call him, coming at the end was definitely weird, but I also understand why they did it. I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just saying I understand why they did it.
I've not had a chance to see the match yet. I do have it on my DVR. And Josh, you definitely talked me into wanting to. I can just picture the Chop Fest happening, and it sounds awesome. So I'm going to make sure I track this one down.
Well, you remember I told you about the Ilya Dragunov bruising at the hands of Walter at the time. It's not that bad, but holy hell, does he have some bruising on him. Joe, that is. Yeah. Suzuki's title reign was 12 days, so there's that. Not as stratospheric as 567 days from Jay Lethal, but Seth's point is basically probably the main reason is that Suzuki wasn't sticking around. They haven't signed Rhett Titus, so Suzuki had to be the transitional champion. And now this opens up Joe to feud with Jay Lethal, and now it can be over the TV title. Even if Joe successfully defends, I'm okay with that. If Jay Lethal wins it eventually, I'm okay with that too. I just like the good storytelling and the good matchups that we could get.
One other thing I'll add about this is my hunch why we're seeing a lot of Ring of Honor titles defended in AEW, my hunch, I'm not saying this that like I think it's news or anything, but my hunch is simply that AEW and Tony Khan, they'll be showcasing the guys that they will want associated with Ring of Honor. They'll start showcasing them on TV in the hopes of getting a Ring of Honor TV deal, whether it be on TNT or TBS or IFC or whatever the other channel is that's on the Turner brand. True I think TV. That's what. Yeah, True TV. Yeah, you're right. Thanks. That's what I think they're doing. Is the goal would be to get a Ring of Honor TV show that would be separate from the AEW show.
Well, additionally, they don't have TV as it stands right now, so they have to defend the titles on some kind of programming.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not his first time back, or his first appearance back, but how does Joe look?
I think he looks fine. I mean, he's as big as ever. I don't mean that in a bad way, because he's, what, 43, 44 years old? I mean, he dwarfed Suzuki, but Suzuki was never a big guy. You know, he's probably 6 feet tall, but he wasn't, you know, he was never built very muscularly. He always just looked like a street fighter. Yeah, Joe looked fine. I mean, he didn't look like he was hurt or anything.
He had the match with Max Caster last week, and he had the match, obviously, with Suzuki this week. I don't think he looked gassed in either of these matches like he did against Karrion Kross in NXT when he won that title.
Yeah, that didn't look great. Oh, it's good. I was just wondering, because he's been off for a bit and injuries and all that. Just, you know, thought he'd, you know, ring rust, all that kind of stuff. We're wondering how he's doing, but that's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's it's interesting to see Joe just as another NXT alumnus that's succeeding in AEW. And it's like AEW is kind of like the second coming of NXT Black and Gold, even though they ran concurrently. It's like they took all the things I loved about Black and Gold, and now I can see it on Dynamite Weekly.
Definitely.
Okay, next news item. Some reports have come out about the top heels and faces listed internally within WWE, but it's an incomplete report because they didn't report on the SmackDown side aside from the top male babyface and the top male heel. Most of this is Raw information, Monday Night Raw, not like Raw data or anything like that.
I was about to ask for clarification.
So the top male faces on Monday Night Raw internally listed. In other words, this is how they view them and how they will probably book them. The top male babyface. Any guesses?
I would say Bobby Lashley right now.
You are correct, sir. Bobby Lashley is number one. Cody Rhodes is number two. And AJ Styles is number three.
Now, let me tell you why I came to that conclusion. Because this is a pattern that WWE has followed for years. I don't think I'm particularly intelligent by noticing this. Right before somebody goes on a main event tear or goes after the world title, they beat a giant. For years, that was the Big Show was the guy that would get the guy to that next level. Now, how many times do we see Roman Reigns against the Big Show? So that's why I picked Bobby Lashley. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, he's fighting Omos. That'll probably mean that they'll throw him at Roman afterwards. So just for what that's worth.
The top male heels on Monday Night Raw are Seth Rollins, number one, Kevin Owens, number two, Damian Priest, number three, which is interesting that Damian's above Edge internally viewed.
I was about to say the same thing.
Had more reasons to not watch Raw.
Yeah, Seth Rollins is the top heel, yet the crowd sings along with his entrance like Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll skip the SmackDown one till last since it's the least amount of information. So I'll go on to the top female babyfaces on Monday Night Raw. Number one is Bianca Belair, who is the Raw Women's Champion. Number two is interesting because she's only had one appearance in a wrestling ring in this calendar year. The number two internally viewed babyface is Alexa Bliss.
She's a babyface?
Apparently. And the number three babyface is someone who could very well be on the other side of the list after Monday, and that's Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, they're hinting that she's going to turn, I think, with the frustration thing. I think I don't have to go on this rant because I think we're all in agreement that they've kind of missed the boat with her a couple times now over the last few years. But if she goes heel, maybe that'll be a little refreshing. I don't know if she'll reunite with Nikki Ash or whoever, but...
No, yeah. God, no, no.
Or what? They should start calling her Nikki ASV, almost a supervillain. But
don't give him the ideas, Seth. Come on.
And the female heels on Raw: number one, Becky Lynch; number two, Carmella; and number three, Queen Zelina. And to me, that just tells me that you don't have a lot of good heels in the female division on Monday Night Raw.
That is absolute weak sauce right there.
I would put Sonya Deville above Carmella and Queen Zelina, but what do I know? And the only what names that have been released are on the SmackDown side are the top male babyface and the top male heel. And this is probably obvious. The top male babyface is Drew McIntyre, and the top male heel is Roman Reigns. Shocker.
Mm-hmm.
So if the rest of the SmackDown side is released between now and next week, we might throw that in. It's interesting to see what they internally view these people as. Just means that if your favorites are not on this list, then they're probably not a top priority. Next news item, some AEW news and notes. Tony Khan changed Dynamite's format for the April 13th episode that aired this week. He wanted to have it featuring more of a focus on in-ring action with minimal time allocated for interviews. Now, there were 7 matches on the show, and while there were backstage interviews or backstage segments, they weren't as long or as many as in previous or regular weeks of Dynamite. And I did kind of notice that it just seemed like match after match after match. And if there were segments and interviews, they were definitely kept short. And it just seemed they could tell there was a difference even before I read this report. It just seemed like a more dense show in terms of wrestling action, which I kind of appreciated because sometimes there's just too many segments that they're trying to cram into a 2-hour show. It's more palatable when they try to cram in stuff to a 1-hour rampage, but on a 2-hour show, it just feels like they're throwing too much at you.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that there was very high on the wrestling content. Now, I think they said that throughout the show that this was like the, what do they call it, championship week or something like that, where all the titles were going to be defended on TV for this week. So that's probably why they kind of went bang, bang, bang with all the matches. Obviously, I like wrestling in my wrestling show, so I was happy with that. And I don't know if they'll go back to a more traditional format. I shouldn't say traditional, but the format of having in-ring promos and the backstage beatdowns and stuff like that. I actually kind of like this primarily matches type format, but I also understand that you need to have the talking segments, the entertainment segments, so to speak. And but I also don't want to go back to that age old somebody comes out for a promo to start the show, and you know it's a 20-minute promo that gets interrupted, and then you get the argument, you make the main event at the end of the night. I think AEW does a good job of staying away from that because they tend to announce their matches ahead of time. So I'd like to see that happy medium where they're not seemingly throwing 7 things at you at once. You know, kind of keep everything to one segment, maybe have 2 or 3 things you want to get across very well per show. And then if there's minor plot lines, or maybe undercard stories to tell as well throughout the show. And that would all be fine with me. I hope I'm making sense with that rambling there.
Yeah, I'm kind of like Seth in that I like my wrestling and I like being entertained in good matches and watching a great contest. I just hope that AEW doesn't drop the ball on getting us invested in their characters, right? That's what they've been doing so much better than WWE has over the last, I don't know, year and a half, is that they're giving us reasons to follow these characters and to invest and get emotionally attached to them. Don't drop that, please. Yeah, find that happy medium, as Seth said. Keep us invested, keep us entertained. Find that balance. Absolutely. Totally agreed with Seth.
And speaking of that championship week, I'm going to go over the announced matches for Friday's Rampage, Saturday's Battle of the Belts 2, and next week's Dynamite, so we all know what we're looking forward to. So first, the matches that have been announced for the live Rampage that starts at, I think, 6 p.m. Central tomorrow.
I believe you're...
Yeah, a couple hours earlier. I'm not sure what's going on TNT, but... Oh, it's probably NBA playoffs, sorry.
I believe that's the case, yeah.
Yeah, so the matches announced are an Owen Hart Foundation Women's Tournament qualifier match, Ruby Soho, finally back on television, woo, versus Robin Renegade. Now, Robin Renegade is a talent that's appeared on Dark and Dark Elevation previously. I don't think she had any affiliation with Ring of Honor, but I could be mistaken. But she is the opponent for Ruby Soho in this qualifier match. Then we have a trios match of the Gun Club, Billy Gunn and his 2 sons, against the Blackpool Combat Club, which is now Jon Moxley, Bryan Danielson, and Wheeler Yuta. And in the main event, in a Texas death match for the AEW World title, Hangman Adam Page defends against Adam Cole.
All three of those matches definitely look interesting. It'll be also interesting to see how much time the main event gets, because I'm assuming this is still going to be a one-hour show. Right. And three matches should be fine for a one-hour show. I don't expect the six-man tag to go terribly long. My hunch is it'll be, glorified squash is the word, but I do get the feeling that the BCC and especially Wheeler Yuta will probably put over pretty strong in that match. And then I think Ruby Soho's probably a shoo-in to win that. I actually would not be surprised if she wins the whole tournament, because she's had title shots and she advanced in title tournaments, but never actually won the title. So giving her a tournament win would probably be a good idea. I also, just personal taste here, actually think the name Robin Renegade is awesome. That sounds like a heroine that would have come out of a 80s cable TV action movie or something like that. But I'm definitely curious to see how the world title grows up, because it's a pretty safe bet this show's not going to do terribly good in the ratings overall, because anytime you move a time slot around for a show, the number tends to be hurt. Because me personally, I rarely watch Rampage live, because, real life work environment, I'm usually not home to watch it. So I usually watch it either late night Friday or early on Saturday. But it'll be interesting to see if they're able to pop a rating on what is basically mid-afternoon on the West Coast. So definitely looking forward to the show whenever I do watch it, though.
They're either going to rely on DVR or that the main event will grab the attention and have people making sure that they move their plans around if possible. Okay, matches announced for Saturday's Battle of the Belts 2. For the TNT title, Scorpio Sky defends against Sammy Guevara. For the Ring of Honor World title, Jonathan Gresham takes on Dalton Castle. And for the AEW Women's title, Thunder Rosa defends against Nyla Rose.
All those matches do look pretty good. As far as who will win, I'm assuming Scorpio probably retains, and actually I think everybody's probably going to retain in that. But all of the matches make sense. I mean, I don't know that much about Ring of Honor, but I'm aware who Dalton Castle is, and he's always been an upper card guy. So that's another one I don't think I'll be able to see live. I'll have to watch either the next day or maybe late night, but definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I've not spent a lot of time in Ring of Honor, but I definitely know the women's match. And that should definitely be a good one. They met in AEW a couple times before, didn't they?
Oh, you're talking about the women's match?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they wrestled at least once on AEW. Now, it might have been a darker elevation or something like that, but I'm pretty sure they've had matches with each other in AEW before.
I think they fought each other in that tournament that to determine Britt Baker's challenger at one of the pay-per-views. And I think Nyla eliminated Thunder Rosa in that tournament. But yeah, this should be good. The interesting match is Scorpio Sky versus Sammy Guevara. I didn't think it was possible for them to do anything to make me dislike Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti, but they found a way to do it. They're dating in real life. Cool, fine, whatever. But now they're flaunting it on camera, and it's not in a cool way. It's in a ew, gross, stop talking kind of way. And no thank you. So, can't believe they turned me against Ty. That's all I have to say about that. All right, matches that have been announced for next Wednesday's Dynamite. This is another packed show. In a coffin match, Darby Allin versus Andrade El Idolo. In an Owen Hart Foundation men's tournament qualifier, Jungle Boy takes on Kyle O'Reilly. In an Owen Hart Foundation women's tournament qualifier, Dr. Britt Baker DMD takes on Danielle Camella, who is another NXT refugee. Wardlow will take on The Butcher, as deemed by MJF.
Hoss fight.
Yeah. Hoss fight for sure. Hook makes his Dynamite debut versus Tony Nese. And in whatever is, whatever you consider a staple, I guess, of most Dynamites, Tony Khan is making a big announcement.
That kind of adds an additional joke to the it's Wednesday and you know what that means. Tony Khan announcement. My hunch for that, for the announcement, is going to be that they've probably gotten the rumored streaming deal with HBO Max, or maybe they found TV for Ring of Honor, like we were talking about before. On paper, it doesn't look like it's going to be as good of a show as this week's was, but you know, there's no matches out there that I roll my eyes at. So we'll see. Maybe they'll all be good in the end.
It's very possible that those two announcement scenarios are the same answer. It's very possible he could announce that they have a streaming deal with HBO Max and that they'll also air Ring of Honor on HBO Max.
Yeah. That would definitely be interesting because most of the other streaming shows do have some sort of live thing at some point in time, it seems. Or maybe they could just have, instead of regular TV clearance, yeah, they could have not just the library up for Ring of Honor, but they could do they potentially could do a weekly show on HBO Max. That would be interesting too.
I wonder how many fans would be drawn to HBO Max just because of that, or whether it's here's a content add-on.
Yeah, and it depends on what other people are using for certain providers, because in some for some AT&T accounts, depending on what services you sign up for, HBO Max is a throw-in. Like, pay for this and you can have HBO Max for free. So a lot of people may already have it based on that, or they may not realize it's part of their account already and they just may sign up for it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And it's also very possible that his announcement has nothing to do with any of those things.
Maybe it'll be an announcement on when all the future announcements will be.
Oh, you mean like Roman Reigns coming out on Raw and telling you our next move is going to be announced on SmackDown. And then he comes out on SmackDown and says, the next thing we're going to do is going to be on Raw.
Yep.
Roman, we know where the shows are. You don't have to point us in the direction. All right. And the last news item is probably the smallest news item of the bunch, but it is possible that a new ring name for Claudio Castagnoli, formerly known as Cesaro, might have been revealed, as he has changed his Instagram handle to Claudio CSRO. His Twitter handle is still WWE Cesaro, but that's likely because he's waiting for the transfer process to go through so that he can keep his profile verification. He filed to trademark the CSRO name back in March for multiple uses, including pro wrestling, sports entertainment, coffee, and pro wrestling. Now, the coffee part is because he does Claudio's Cafe on his Twitch stream, and he's also very into coffee, and so he might be coming out with his own blend. But additionally, if you ever noticed on some of his WWE ring gear, he had CSRO with the Swiss cross in the middle of the S and the R, kind of like a logo. So I don't know if it's going to be pronounced Cisro, or this is how they're going to get around Cesaro, by taking out some of the vowels. So it'll have to, you know, wait to see how this is pronounced or delivered. If his ring name is Claudio Cesaro or Claudio Cisro, I don't know how you pronounce that any other way, but It hasn't been announced where he's signing or where he'll show up, but this might be his new wrestling moniker.
Or maybe he's just taking the vowels out because that's what the kids love to do these days with names.
Yeah, that's his texting name.
Yeah.
Is that really going to stop us from calling him Cesaro?
No. But we wouldn't get sued for it. He would.
Or maybe it's something similar to Christian. Now, actually, Christian was Christian Cage before he went to WWE, right? If I recall correctly.
I think that was his indies name, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because obviously, he's free to use Christian Cage, even though he was known as Christian in WWE. So I don't know if that name can be used. Because if you remember, several years back when the Dudleys left WWE, they had trademarked the Deadly Boys, kind of play off the Dudley name. So maybe it'll be something similar to that.
Any other thoughts on Cesaro, Jarrett?
Not really. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know. And, you know, my gut reaction is like, oh, that's kind of dumb. But I guess we'll see how it's presented. And it's like, I can find myself really loving to pronounce Cesaro. It just sounds weird.
It also sounds like a Chicago suburb.
It should be a new section of town on South Park.
I just want to see how many times Claudio will be able to do the swing on John Silver. How many rotations can he spin John Silver for?
That's going to be a perpetual motion machine. It's going to power small cities.
Nice. All right. Well, that is our episode for this week. Next week, we might have something a little special lined up for you. I'm not going to give away too much here in case things go sideways, but tune in next week for a potentially very special edition of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Any final thoughts?
Well, I seem to say it every week, but it's true. It's definitely an exciting time to be a wrestling fan right now because the more promotions that are out there, the better it is for everybody, really.
Speaking of that, did anyone actually sit down and watch all the hours of programming that were available during WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah, that would have taken up more time than my weekend work shifts.
Just thought I'd ask. That was a metric boatload of wrestling to watch.
Yeah, there was stuff available that I didn't even know about until after the fact. So, yeah, they try to cram in as much as they can and bank on the fact that people traveled from out of state to the WrestleMania location and they give them something to do when it's not WrestleMania.
Well, if it's not WrestleMania, it's access. So that's a whole other production and time.
Right. Plus there was WrestleCon during the same weekend, all kinds of things to do. If you were in Dallas, Texas, you were not starving for content. Okay. Well, thank you again for downloading, listening, and subscribing, and we will talk to you next time.